Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Today is Wednesday, February 15, 2017. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. Thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate you listening to the podcast. We have Tristan North with the American Ambulance Association joining us here in a few minutes. I'd like to welcome to the program Patrick Ryan and Chris Anderson. Hello.
Hello,
morning,
Joe.
Welcome back from Jamaica.
Hey, Yaman, heard that quite a bit the last few days. What a beautiful country and beautiful people. It was really a nice trip. And for those that maybe haven't been there, this is a little commercial plug. It's a great destination. And I know you, Patrick and Chris, can speak to that also from your own firsthand experience. But thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Absolutely. And if it wasn't, 50 degrees this week, I'd been wishing I was there with you.
Yes, it was a nice, comfortable 85 and sunny every day. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, very, very good. Patrick, I know you wanted to chat real quick here about community paramedicine. Obviously, the association is very involved in the progress with this, and I know you wanted to offer an update, so please go ahead.
Sure, thanks, Joe. Our effort is continuing to move forward. The first step in this process was identified sometime over the late summer, I think, as we talked with DHS regarding the language to enable community paramedic. And that step is a bill, AB 59, which is being called the Language Update Bill. It's essentially going to streamline and bring up to date some of the labels that we're using in EMS and really allow for that next step then of credentialing of community paramedics in the next bill that will be introduced here soon. So this is a necessary part of the process, and it never quite happens as quickly as you'd like. But I believe there's some scheduled testimony on the 22nd of February for the language bill, and then we should get an introduction and a bill number soon thereafter for the community paramedic bill, and then that process will be underway as well. So exciting moving forward, but we've got a little further ways to go, but things are on track and feeling positive about it.
That's really good news, Patrick. Thank you very much for the update. And I know we'll be talking about the CP legislation with Jerry Biggert from the Wisconsin EMS Advisory Board. Jerry is the chairperson of that group. Jerry will be our guest on February 28th, as well as Patrick Ryan and Dana Seckler. So we invite you to join us then. One of the legislative priorities in Washington, D.C. for the American Ambulance Association is making the Medicare ambulance add-on payment permanent. This is an important for several reasons, and we'll discuss those reasons very soon with the lead guy. That's AAA Senior Vice President of Government Affairs, Tristan North. We look forward to chatting with Tristan here very, very soon. And we'll also touch base with Tristan on some of the other ventures that AAA has as priorities here in 2017. Today's program will run approximately 25 more minutes. It is sponsored today by Stark Collection Agency and McNeil & Company. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin. Thanks for being with us. Our program continues after this brief message. The Ambulance Services Insurance Program, or ASIP, by McNeil & Company offers specialized insurance for today's ambulance services. ASIP has consistently led the industry, developing a deeper understanding of their clients' challenges and opportunities more than any other provider. McNeil & Company has a dedicated risk management team and an in-house claims staff that work diligently on their clients' behalf to help ambulance companies operate more safely and avoid catastrophic losses. As other programs and carriers have come and gone, McNeil & Company has maintained a stable offering and leveraged their expertise to provide education and training programs that add value to their policies. You can learn more by visiting McNeil & Company's website at www.asip.com. That's www.asip.com. The fine art of successful ambulance billing and collections begins with the Stark Agency, located in Madison. The Stark Agency provides full-service debt collection, specializing in EMS and ambulance patient billing. They're also experts in the Wisconsin Offset Trip Program, a new option for ambulance services. For more information, call 877-274-7764. That number again, 877-274-7764. The Stark Agency is accredited
accredited by the Better Business Bureau and a member of the Wisconsin Collectors Association. All right, welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Chris Anderson and Patrick Ryan today. I'd like to bring into the program AAA Senior Vice President for Government Affairs, Tristan North. Hello, Tristan. Thank you for calling in from Washington, D.C. today.
Well, thank you, Joe. Good to be here, and thank you, Patrick, and thank you, Chris. It's always a pleasure to be participating on your podcast.
It's really great to have you with us, Tristan. I know you've joined us on previous occasions, and as we start the new year, we always like to touch base and find out what some of the priorities are that you and AAA are working on. Very important work for our industry, of course, and you're the lead person on a lot of these legislative initiatives. In reading a lot of the AAA information here as of late, it's very apparent your legislative priority for right now for 2017 is the Medicare add-on payment and making that permanent. And for those maybe that aren't aware of what this all means, might be some new terminology or just aren't familiar with it, or maybe like an update, what is the add-on payment and how does that impact or directly affect ambulance services?
Sure. So there are actually two add-on payments right now. There's the 2% urban, which is a 2% increase to the base rate and mileage rate for those transports that originate in an urban area, a 3% increase for those transports that are, originate in a rural area, and that's again to the base rate and super rate, mileage rate. And those have been in effect since 2008 as part of BIPA, one of the many acronyms of bills over the years on healthcare proposals on different provider provisions. And since 2010, those have been extended about eight times. Then we also have the super rural bonus payment. Now, that payment applies to those providers who do a transport originating in a extremely rural area, and super rural is defined by the lowest quartile of the residents of Medicare participants and patients. So we're talking about very rural areas, and they receive a 22.6% bump to their base rate. That provision has actually been in effect since back to the Medicare Modernization Act, or more commonly known as the Prescription Drug Bill, that was enacted back in 2003. So that provision has been in place over 14 years now. So those are the current provisions that we continue to try to get made permanent. And we've got two GAO reports, the Government Accountability Office, both in 2007 and 2012, determined if you remove those add-on payments, those increases of the two urban, three rural, and super rural bonus payment, that ambulance services are reimbursed below the cost of providing services to Medicare patients. So that has been really a selling point with us trying to get those ambulance add-on payments made permanent. However, we have been part of the doc fix package as far as other Medicare extenders for other provider groups that have been in place for a while. Congress finally got their act together on the physician fix, made that fix permanent about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. However, continued to just extend the ambulance add-on payments, therapy cap exclusions, and other provider extensions. And now we're, you know, at the end of a 33-month extension for the ambulance add-on payments, which now expire December 31st of this year. So obviously, this year has been and will be extremely crucial to making sure that at the very least those add-on payments don't expire and hopefully made permanent, because at this point, a lot of people rely on those as their Medicare reimbursement. They're no longer looked at as increases. It's what people are being reimbursed and accustomed to for, gosh, at least the last, you know, 10 years or so with the two and the three, and even longer with the super rural bonus payment. So that's what our number one priority is this year, is to make sure that those do not expire.
And we know, you know, based on local ambulance service and their delivery of care and services to their community or contracts that they may have, we know that Medicare
patient or beneficiary transports is a significant part, typically in most areas for ambulance services. So this is a important discussion and consideration. Now, you're looking to have this be permanent, and there, as you mentioned 3 years ago, the physicians were permanent. How do you see this happening? Is there some type of timeline it's on? What's the process that needs to happen?
Sure. So last year, in the past couple of years, we've had our champions in Congress introduce the Medicare Ambulance Access Fraud Prevention and Reform Act. Last Congress, that was S-377 and H-R-745. Our first priority, and we're working with our champion offices right now, is to get those bills reintroduced. It's been a little bit more challenging this year. You have a new administration, so obviously members of Congress are focused on big picture issues, as we'll get into a little later with the ACA repeal and reform effort. And we also had our primary sponsor in the House, Congressman Greg Walden, Republican of Oregon, actually move up to become chair of the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House. It is traditional that when you become a senior leader, that you traditionally don't introduce bills under jurisdiction of the committee that you're now taking the reins of. And that's what we've seen with Walden. Fortunately, we now have Walden as chair of a committee with jurisdiction over our issue and very supportive of, obviously, of ambulance. And we also have Congressman Devin Nunes, Republican of California, who's on the Ways and Means Committee, the other committee of jurisdiction, who has agreed to kind of pick up the reins and introduce the bill. So we are working with his office, as well as Congressman Neal, Democrat of Massachusetts, who has actually become ranking member, so the senior Democrat on Ways and Means, as well as Congressman Peter Welch, the Democrat on Energy and Commerce on the bill, working to try to get that introduced very soon here. And then on the Senate side, we actually had Senator Chuck Schumer, the sponsor from last year, now become Senate Minority Leader. So obviously he's got his focus on a number of different things. So we're shoring up the champions on that side. He'll always continue to be very supportive. And we've got Debbie Stabenow, Democrat of Michigan, who is going to pick up the reins on that side, working hopefully with Senator Pat Roberts, Republican of Kansas. And we've had Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, and Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, who have continued to be very supportive. So we're really kind of working through shoring up our champions, shoring up the language to get a bill introduced, hopefully in the next several weeks. As far as a time frame, most likely this will move as part of a larger extender package. While ours extenders and add-on payments expire at the end of the year, there are others that expire, I believe, on October 1st. So there is an effort already kind of in discussion of doing something either right before the August congressional recess or soon thereafter to try to get the resolve the issue of the different extenders that are, you know, continually expiring. That said, we are also looking at other opportunities, whether or not it be ACA repeal and reform, budget reconciliation with a tax package, any other vehicle before then that possibly could be an opportunity to move our provisions. But the most likely scenario is that this will be addressed sometime this summer or early late spring as far as a larger extender package.
Very good. That sounds encouraging. You have a lot of people with influence in key places. It's good to know, and good to know the agenda that's ahead of us here. Patrick or Chris, did you have some questions for Tristan regarding the add-ons?
I do not. I mean, you know, I've been following it pretty closely and, you know, following the AAA's efforts for the last several years. So I probably I'm probably more familiar with it than most people would want to be. You know, it's, to me, it's kind of exciting. People outside of our industry might think it's a little boring, but that's okay. I think it's exciting, and you know, a lot of us do. So, and it's great to have the AAA's efforts on our side, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't have a question, rather just kind of a revelation. It's interesting how you put that, Tristan, that, you know, these are temporary, quote, temporary add-ons, but, you know, they are really relied upon by all services to make ends meet. And I think it does still underscores the fact that, you know, there's much work to do for our industry for that stability going into the future, but could not be doing what we are doing without your support at the AAA. Thank you.
Oh, our pleasure. And, you know, one thing that we remind members of Congress about is, Joe, you had mentioned earlier that Medicare is obviously a huge payer for folks in Wisconsin. On average, it's about 50% of an ambulance service provider's revenue. However, there are other payers. A lot of private payers will do a percentage above. Medicaid in a lot of states will do a percentage below. And they follow these Medicare policies under the fee schedule as well. So it's not just necessarily one payer for a provider, that it can be multiple that are following the different add-on payments and other policy changes. So it's definitely got big repercussions through, you know, a lot of payers. So
an excellent point.
Go ahead, Chris.
At least here in Milwaukee, last time I looked, about 52 or 53% Medicare. And, 2% off of that number would be huge. I mean, we would start talking in terms of, you know, is that going to affect how many employees we can have and things like that. So it's very important to us.
And another point we've been making to folks is, you know, while I think a lot of folks have become accustomed to the add-on payments being there, that there is also that uncertainty. Before we got the 33-month extension, I would get a lot of calls in November, October, folks planning their budget if they had to go to their city or county council as to subsidizing the system, trying to put that into real terms and trying to figure out whether or not the add-ons would be extended. So it's very difficult for ambulance service providers to budget ahead as to staffing, new purchases on a vehicle, if they don't know if that 2% urban, 3% rural, and especially the 22.6% super rural are going to continue. So we constantly remind members of Congress of that fact.
Tristan, one of the things we're challenged with here in Wisconsin, and we talked about the finances, and you mentioned 50% of an ambulance service is Medicare, which, you know, it's at least that or more. And one of the things that we're challenged with here, though, is Medicaid. Medicaid, obviously, is a state program, but those dollars come from the federal government. And through our analysis of other states, of course, they all have different rates. Here in Wisconsin, we're kind of in the middle to low end of the tier, and our state has not provided an increase since, I believe it was 2006 or 8, and at that time, it was only 1%. So ambulance services, for the most part, are operating below their costs and delivering services to Medicaid beneficiaries or members. Do you at the federal level see any changes with state Medicaid or how that Medicaid system may be functioning, or is the federal government simply looking at handing over those dollars to the state to allocate and divide appropriately?
I think we're going to see more with a Republican president and Republicans in control of both the House and Senate looking to provide more flexibility to states. I think they would prefer to do something along the lines of just kind of a straight block grant to help rein in spending under Medicaid, as well as give that flexibility to states. It's become obviously a very difficult issue because you also have a number of states with Republican governors that have done the Medicaid expansion under the ACA. So there's kind of a recognition now, I believe, within Congress that, you know, they need to make sure that folks who are covered now have that coverage. And we may see kind of a further disagreement between governors and Congress as to how to deliver that that funding, because while a lot of governors would love to have the greater flexibility, if there is a block grant, then they don't have kind of the unlimited dollars to do with as they will in setting the stage for their Medicaid program, that it would be some sort of per capita or some other way to just provide a certain amount of funding for states. And I think especially states like California and other larger states become concerned that they could easily go over, you know, whatever funding is provided by the Medicaid program. So in short, I think we're going to see at least efforts on some changes. However, I don't think kind of down to the level of coverage decisions.
Right. Understood. Thank you very much for sharing that, though. I wanted to make sure we chatted about the new administration, the Trump administration, and been hearing a lot about repeal and reform with the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. What are you hearing on Capitol Hill, and what are some of the things ambulance services should be aware of?
Sure. So there was an effort afoot very early once Trump was inaugurated and Republicans took maintained control of the House and Senate to move quickly on ACA repeal and reform. We've seen definitely a pullback on the reins on that effort. Previously, Republicans knew what they'd put forward to Senate Democrats and then President Obama would be vetoed. So they really didn't have a true consensus on a replacement bill just because they knew it wasn't going to go into effect. Now that they do have the presidency as well, they are being much more mindful of moving forward to ensure that the exchanges aren't disrupted while they put into place a some sort of repair or reform, or the term differs depending upon who you talk to. But they've kind of run into a situation now where they have folks coming out on the left, similar to what we had several years ago on the right with the Tea Party, who were voicing obviously concerns with the ACA implementation, just the opposite. Folks coming out and saying, you know, we want to make sure that the exchanges stay somewhat in place and that folks who have coverage now will continue to have coverage. So we see kind of more moderates, not necessarily moderates, but more moderates within the Republican Party in the House and Senate kind of want to do a more thinking through of the situation and not just repeal without some sort of real plan on replace, whereas more conservative members want to follow through on their campaign pledges, on Trump's pledge to essentially just repeal it and worry about reform or repair or replace a little bit, you know, down the road. So it looks like they are trying to, in particular, Speaker Ryan, to try to see if the two sides can kind of come together and put some sort of package together now to address it. We've also seen the timing flip. While initially it was going to be addressed in kind of the first quarter of 2017, we've seen Speaker Ryan say could be by the end of this summer, maybe the end of this year, and President Trump stating possibly the end of the year and maybe in the next year. So it's a very complicated issue to make sure that the insurance market isn't disrupted and folks who have coverage now, which even those who didn't have coverage previously, we all benefit or have as part of our coverage plans the fact that, you know, pre-existing conditions can't be taken into consideration, that children under the age of 26 can stay on their parents' plan. So it really doesn't just impact those folks who are part of the exchange. It impacts pretty much everyone. And now folks in Congress are having to kind of deal with the pros and cons and who, you know, they're going to upset as part of this process. So it's a very complicated issue.
Right. And the industry is really starting to drive some of the issues from the healthcare insurer perspective. I just read yesterday, I believe it was Humana, decided to discontinue Obamacare next year. So they obviously are telling and foretelling in some of the things that you just described, too. And I know there's other insurers, too, that have dropped away from the ACA program. So we'll see how that continues to unfold. And I know there's a lot to be addressed and to work on yet. I wanted to make sure that we chatted, too, about some recent initiatives here in Wisconsin and what that may mean also, too, at the national level. Here in Wisconsin, Tristan, our Wisconsin legislature created a study committee on EMT and volunteer recruitment. Obviously, volunteerism in local ambulance services and fire departments has been reduced over time just with priorities that people have in their lives, and dedicating some time to their local community through service has changed a little bit.
And Wisconsin's issues are also national issues with the decline in volunteering for emergency services and obviously for other areas that there are volunteer opportunities. What are you seeing happening nationally, not only in Washington, D.C., as this may or may not be discussed, but also nationally within ambulance services throughout the country?
So we see kind of a twofold approach to the issue of not as much enthusiasm on volunteering, as you stated, not within just EMS, but on all matters. The first is, and this will continue to be a priority of this Congress and this administration, seeing what they can do with veterans and making sure, as we saw last Congress, making it easier for veterans to transfer over to becoming paramedics and EMTs, getting credit for them being medics within the during their military service. So we see that in kind of a broad brush stroke in a lot of areas, in a lot of states as well, trying to make sure that you're tapping a very good source of professional talent there with veterans. The second is really going the way of, and this is nothing new, but tax incentives. Can you help out folks with deducting certain things from their taxes that may be directly related to their volunteerism? So, whether or not it's helping with, mileage, deducting mileage, to and from if you're driving a long distance, or if you're buying equipment specifically for that job, or whatever that might be, that they're really trying to make it easier for folks within EMS and the fire service to continue to volunteer to become medics and paramedics, so that we don't lose that very critical resource. Because as we've stated on the Medicare ambulance add-on payments, a number of communities in the United States rely on the ambulance service as their emergency health care, and sometimes in some communities, their only medical care, especially after hours. And a lot of those services rely on volunteers to be able to staff the ambulances and provide critical healthcare services. So we're also kind of intertwining the message within the add-on payments and the fact that a lot of folks, a lot of providers who were relying on volunteers previously can no longer do so, and obviously their costs are coming up. So it's really an underlying issue, across the board.
Excellent, Tristan. Thank you very much for the update. And that's what Wisconsin is looking at, too, is tax incentives. And that's making its way through the bill writing process at this time. And we'll see what happens. We'll closely follow it. But thank you for the federal perspective also. Chris and Patrick, anything else in as we get to wrap things up here real soon?
No, not for me.
No, nothing for me, Joe. Just great information. Really appreciate the visit today.
Absolutely. It's great.
Yeah, Tristan, thank you very much for your information. I know you have another call to make here in a few minutes, so we appreciate you jumping on the podcast this morning and offering this information. We look forward to sharing it statewide here in Wisconsin. Thank you again for your time. But before we wrap things up, was there anything, Tristan, from your perspective, you wanted to offer in our closing few minutes?
Just two things. I know you guys are also working on community paramedicine in Wisconsin. The AAA is working with NAMT, National Association of State EMS Officials, NAMSP, to really help lay the foundation for that becoming a reality. Another item we're working on within our add-on bill is rolling out being treated more like providers. And that's really kind of the first step to opening the door to later do community paramedicine, nurse triage, alternate destination, a lot of other things that our industry could be doing to really help the healthcare system in whole. So we're doing that, as well as I stated earlier, this is a critical year for the add-on payments. We can't take them for granted. So as folks reach out and encourage you to write your letters to members of Congress and make sure they are aware of how critical those are to your operation, to please follow through on those requests. It's going to take all of us to make them permanent.
Excellent. Tristan, thank you very much for your leadership in Washington, D.C. on behalf of the industry. You're doing a terrific job. Thank you for the update this morning.
Thank you, and my pleasure.
Okay, Tristan North, Senior Vice President with the American Ambulance Association, working in Washington, D.C. as the government affairs person. Patrick and Chris, anything in closing before we wrap up the show?
Nope. Thanks as always, Joe, and of course, thanks to Tristan.
Yep, I'll just echo that.
All right, very good. The next EMS Live program is Tuesday, February 28th, starting at 9 a.m. Our guests include State of Wisconsin EMS Advisory Board Chairman Jerry Biggert and Baraboo District Ambulance Chief Dana Seckler. They'll offer an update on work and plans the EMS Board is currently pursuing here in 2017. Patrick Ryan will also have an update for us on community paramedicine legislation. EMS Live is streamed live via the phone and internet the second and fourth Tuesdays every month. Today was a little bit off for us with the recent vacation that I had, so thank you for allowing us a little bit to deviate from the schedule. Today's program, of course, was recorded and is available for playback from the PAW website at paaw.us. On behalf of Patrick Ryan and Chris Anderson, this is Joe Cavelli. Thank you for listening to today's program. This has been Wisconsin EMS Live.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.